forward to what the Lord has for us this afternoon as well. Brother Cody, you come on and tell us the gospel.
Good evening. You can open your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This morning we looked at the importance of believing the truth. God has given us His Word, and He has declared unto us the truth. The message we considered was 6 stubborn statements, and I'll do a brief recap. The first of which statement said, either God Almighty is either totally sovereign in all things, or He's not sovereign at all. The second statement was either man, all of man, all men and women, either man is born into this world completely dead in sin, or he's not. The third statement is either God elected a people unto salvation, and they shall be saved, or he didn't. The fourth statement is either Christ died for the elect and it is finished, or he failed. The fifth statement is either God the Holy Spirit quickens all of God's people to life and faith in Christ, or he doesn't. And the sixth statement is either all of God's people will persevere to the end, or they won't. We were confronted with these 6 stubborn statements, these 6 glorious gospel truths. Now, for our message tonight, I would like to follow up with these 6 statements that we considered this morning. What say we to these things? Has God given us faith to believe these things? Has God given us faith to believe the truth as He declares it in His Word? Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now this morning we did not read verse 13. Well, verse 13 is a glorious verse, isn't it? I believe that I am looking at a bunch of sinners whom God has caused to believe the truth. If we believe the truth, it's because God caused us to believe the truth. And for that reason, like the Apostle Paul, I am bound to give thanks. I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you. God has done for you what He has not done for everybody. You're a special people. He said so. God has revealed to you the truth. He's caused you to know the truth, receive the truth, believe the truth, and love the truth. God's done that for you. And I give Him thanks. Oh, if God has done that for you, I can't tell you how I give Him thanks. because by nature, we do not believe the truth. None of us. Look at verse 8 here in our text. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. By nature, that's all of us. We do not receive the love of the truth. I mentioned it earlier, religion is full of lies, and we believe them. We believe them. Until God reveals to us the truth, we will believe a lie. A damning lie. And that's why this is so important. We must believe the truth. Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Most people believe that God loves everybody. And they believe this. They just assume this is true because some preacher somewhere said it. Please understand what I'm about to say. Don't believe me. You can forget I'm even here. I'm just a voice. Like John the Baptist, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Believe the Word. I'm going to show you the Word. I pray God will show you the Word. Believe the Word. Christ said, "Don't believe me. Believe the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me." Don't believe me. Believe God. Believe the Word. Okay? People believe God loves everyone because a preacher said it. God never said it. God never. And the verse they'll probably say, John 3:16. Turn with me there. John 3:16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God does not love the whole world. That's not what it says. God does not love the whole world. He loves the whosoever's that shall believe on Him. You see, this verse is not to tell us that God so loved the whole world, He gave His Son. That's what I said earlier. Christ didn't die for everybody and hope that somebody will be saved. He died for the elect and they shall be saved. This verse is meant to show us the extent of God's love for His people. He gave His Son. He sent His only begotten Son in whom He's well pleased. So that, in order that, His people shall believe on Him and be saved. That's why. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, in order that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Turn over a couple pages to John chapter 6. John 6 verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God loves His people. His chosen, particular, peculiar people. And all whom God loves shall see the Son. If God loves you, you're going to see Christ, the Son of Man, lifted up. You're going to say, "My Lord and my God, mine eyes have seen Thy salvation." We shall see him and believe on him, but we'll never believe that. We'll never believe on him until God, in his grace, enables us to see him. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Most people believe that Christ died for everyone. That's just not so. It cannot be written more plainly. Christ himself said in John chapter 10, verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. In Matthew 25, we read about the goats that are going to be on his left hand. He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And he's going to say to the sheep on his right hand, come on, come in, come in. He laid down his life, not in weakness, but in power. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I lay it down to myself, and I have the power to take it again. He laid down his life in love. That's why he gave himself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And everyone's not his friend. You know this? We're born into this world enemies with God. The carnal mind, the natural mind that we're born with, Scripture says enmity with God. We're born his enemies. He's got to make us to be his friend. That's what it is to be reconciled to God. He makes his enemies his friends. John 13, verse 18, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God, he knows his own. He knows us by name. Our names are written on his hands, in his forehead. Naturally, we believe that there is some goodness in us. Even now, don't sometimes think, man, I did a good job there. I really knew what I was doing. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's none good, no, not one. You know, you can get somebody to admit, yeah, I've sinned. I've done some wrong. But at the end of the day, I'm a pretty good person. That's just not so. That's just not so. Our good does not outweigh our bad. There is no good. There's no good. Jeremiah 13, verse 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? If so, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You see, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to do good. Only there's one good, God. God alone is good. Sin is not just what we do, it's what we are. Christ did not die merely to set an example for us to follow, though he did. He is the example. Absolutely he is. But that's not why he died. He died to put away our sin. And he put it away. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, by nature, we don't believe any of this. None of it. Foolishness to us. That's what it is. We believe that God has done all he can and the rest is up to us. But praise God, that's just not so. If that's the message I had to declare to you, we all have no hope. No hope. I pray God has sent me with good news. The next line I have is, Jesus paid it all. We just sang it. Either he did or he didn't. He did. He paid it all. Apart from God's grace, we do not believe the truth. We do not believe the truth. God sends strong delusion that we should believe a lie, and we believe a lie. We just go about living our life, loving ourselves, trusting in ourselves, believing in ourselves, no concern for our soul, no thought of God. You know, that's as far as we can get on our own. As far away from God as possible. That's where we take ourselves. But God. But God. Look back at our text. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. For what God has done for His people, in saving them and making them new creatures in Christ, we are bound to give thanks. Bound to give thanks to God. How I rejoice to know that God saves sinners. He still saves sinners. If we're still preaching, He's still saving. That's why we preach. Because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now this morning, after the message, a young lady come up to me crying. And it caught me off guard. I'd never had that happen before. And I knew immediately that her tears were not tears of sorrow. They weren't sad tears. They were tears of joy. And we just stood there for a moment, embracing one another. We just stood there hugging like we'd never hugged before. She didn't want to let go, and I didn't want to let her go. She didn't say anything, I didn't say anything. And then she said, "I love you." I said, "I love you too." And then she said, with tears running down her face, "I found myself believing." That's why we preach. That's why we preach. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You mean to tell me God's able to save a sinner through the foolishness of preaching? You better believe He is. You better believe He is. If He wasn't, I wouldn't be saved. Neither would you. You know, it's such an honor to be asked to stand and open God's Word. This is life eternal. You know, the Scriptures end with saying, "Lord, come quickly." Why do we want Him to come? Because He's revealed Himself to us. He saved us. And our hope is not in the things of this world. It's all going to be burned up. Our hope is that one day we shall see Him as He is. And that we shall be just like Him. That we shall stand in the presence of His glory. That's why we preach. You know, today's been maybe the best day of my life. When it's confirmed what God's been pleased to do, my soul. What do we say to this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, ye that know Him. Who can tell how much we owe Him? I certainly can't. I can't. You say, "Well, if you believe in election, why do you preach? Why do you bother preaching?" Because the dead must hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Because sinners are going to hear Him speak through His Word, and they're going to fall in love with Him. That's why we preach. That's why. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. I'm bound to give thanks to God because of what He's done for you and what He's done for me. We've not done anything. I've not done a thing. And I don't deserve what He's done for me. We've just received the good news. That's all. We did nothing to earn it. The wages of sin is death. That's all I've earned. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ as Lord, and He's been pleased to bestow that gift to us, unworthy, wretched sinners. All we've done is receive what God has graciously done for us. The end of verse 13 says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God sanctified us. He set us apart back in eternity past, if we can call it that. He made us to be holy in Christ. And He's given us faith and caused us to believe on Christ, the truth. He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. The way, the truth, and life. I don't even remember. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. There's no other way. He's the straight, narrow way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He is the truth. In a world full of lies, He is the, capital T, truth. And in a world of death, you just consider this world, all it is death. Everything that's born dies. People, plants, animal, everything is born and it dies. Christ is the life. He came and He died, but He didn't stay dead. Our God's not dead. He's not dead. Our God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's made the dead to live. We worship the living God, the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Look here at verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us by His gospel. We must hear... I'm going to misquote it. Just turn with me to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans chapter 10. And I'll tell you this, my heart's desire is what Paul said in verse 1. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my desire for you. That's the only thing that matters. You know, everything else just don't matter. That we might be saved. That's all that matters. Well, look here in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God has called us by His gospel. He has given us an ear to hear His word. Verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now as I studied this, I just could not help but think of Zacchaeus. God called him by His gospel too. Turn with me there to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. This man Zacchaeus, he was a publican, tax collector, and he was a rich man. He was a sinner. He was a sinner. He had this world's good, but he had a problem. Look at verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. There's a song. It says Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was a wee little man. He was short. He couldn't see. That's a good picture spiritually. No matter how rich we are, no matter what we think we have, spiritually speaking, we are all wee little men and women. That's all we are. I love how it says he could not, we can't. Whatever it is, spiritually, we can't. We can't. Look at verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You know, I couldn't help but think of blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. So what did he do? He started crying. Oh, he started crying. I hope that we have all come here tonight for this same reason, desiring to see Christ. And I pray that there's a cry going on in these hearts that we might see Him in the heart. Believing what He said, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Believing that He's in our midst. I believe He's in our midst. I really do. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw Him and said unto Him, Zacchaeus. He called Him by name. And that's what He does. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That's how God calls sinners to Himself. He calls us by name. He says, make haste. You just leave everything right now. You come down. He comes to us, and that's what He does. And His call is effectual. Look what happened in verse 6. And He made haste and came down. He called Him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. He come down. That's the way it works. He came down. I've heard this mentioned before, so that in religion they might say, oh, well, when Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, he just keeps on knocking until you finally open it, let Him in. That's not how it works. That's a pathetic Jesus is what that is. That's what Paul called another Jesus. That's what Paul called, he said, another gospel, which is not another. It's a lie. That's all that is. God does come to our heart's door. And here's what He does. He doesn't stand there and knock and just hope we open. Scripture does say, behold, I stand and knock. But you know what? He knocks the door down. Lock, stock, and barrel. He comes in because today He must abide at our house. Just like He did for Zacchaeus. That's what He does for all His people. Well, I don't want that kind of God. No, I'm going to have to let Him in. Let God? Oh, you're going to let God? What fools. We worship the sovereign God. Amen. When God knocks our door down and enters in, I'll tell you this, if he's not done that for you, if He ever does, you're going to be glad He did. Look at verse 7 again, or verse 6 again. And He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. Joyfully. God's people receive Christ joyfully. We're glad He did. Are you glad He did? Are you glad He knocked you down? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We won't. There is no escape. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that He was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. The Pharisees never could rejoice in our Lord's presence. Never. You know why? They never had a need of Him. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They said, "Doesn't he know this man is a publican? Doesn't he know this man's a sinner?" The problem is they didn't know themselves to be sinners. The problem is they didn't know Christ is the friend of publicans and sinners. We have a friend. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. That's a friend. Whom having not seen, we love. He loved us ere we knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. That's love. That's God's love. God's love doesn't try to save. God's love saves. God's love doesn't try to bring us to himself. God's love marries us. Christ married us. He married us. You can't get any closer than that. Verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." When God saves us, we're sorry. You know, religion's nothing but a big show. It's a facade. When God saves us, here's what we cry. "I acknowledge my transgressions." I really do. "And my sin is ever before me." We don't think like that until God reveals to us that's what we are. Until He breaks us. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what God will receive. That's the acceptable sacrifice to a holy God. We must be broken. Zacchaeus was broken. God makes us to know we're sinners and we're not proud of it. We pray, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need your mercy." Verse 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house." Praise God. Amen. "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost? If we've never been lost, we've never been found. And that means we're still lost. You know, it's a blessing when God reveals to a sinner that we're lost. That means we've been found. Praise God. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Turn back to our text. Christ causes the deaf to hear. He causes the lame to walk. He causes the blind to see. That's our Lord. He doesn't try. Our Lord never tried to do a thing. Not a thing. He saves. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. but God does. One of the scariest things I've ever heard anybody say is, "Only God can judge me. God knows my heart. If only we knew." Scriptures say our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. God knows it. That ought to give us pause. I don't know your heart. I don't know if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. But I know this. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. Christ is the Savior of sinners. I don't know much, but I know this. Eternal life's in Christ. Salvation's knowing Christ, being found in Christ, not having our own righteousness, but having Christ and His righteousness. He that hath the Son hath life. I pray God has given us faith to believe on the Son. I pray that this day salvation is come to this house. Amen. Let us pray. God our Father, how we thank Thee for saving sinners. Lord, we praise Your holy name. We confess what we are. Our sins are ever before us. But oh, how we rejoice to read in Your Word that Christ came to save sinners and that He got the job done. Father, thank You for redemption, for salvation in Him. I pray that each soul here might find a need within their heart of Christ and His mercy and His grace. May we be found in Him. Lord, have mercy upon us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Cody.